And I would invite everyone else to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, reading verses 13 through 16, very familiar passage. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 877. Mark 10, 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. I crossed you up. I moved over to this side today. I know that all the parents who are here today, and the children and youth that might still be in our worship room with us, are really sad. Saddened by the news that in less than 2 months, school will be out for summer. I know the children and youth are sad because that means that they're not going to have to go to class. And the parents are sad because that means kids are going to be around more. And report cards have come out throughout the year. And I know that that last one for school will be highly anticipated. Some children will proudly display their report card while others will try to hide it and delay having to give it. Well, at least that's how it used to be, but these days parents get to go to the school and pick them up. So it's kind of tough to do that anymore. Today, though, I want us to think about our report card and how our report card might look, especially as we deal with children and youth, both ours and the children of others whom we might encounter or who might be entrusted to us. As we awoke this morning, in the United States, a few hundred thousand children woke up homeless. Every half minute, a baby is born into poverty. The latest report, statistics that came out about 2 weeks ago, over 49% of first children in the United States are born out of wedlock. Crimes against children are on the increase. So it would seem that as a nation, we wouldn't have such a good report card when it comes to children. Yet, there is good news. If we listen to and examine Jesus' treatment of children, and then if we truly seek to live like Him, something more important happens than getting a grade on a report card. Our children can experience more grace and more safety in the world at large, but even more importantly, in our community. This passage today has been used in a wide range of settings. We've even looked at it from a different perspective in the past. But in the passage today, Jesus gives a brief command and statement about children, something that speaks volumes It speaks volumes about his attitude toward children. And subsequently, if we are his followers, what should be our attitude towards children? And not only an attitude, but how we should live with and treat children. First, I want us to look briefly at Jesus' attitude. Jesus' attitude toward children indicated that they had an important place in life. Children were and are important. Jesus often gave people who had no real place in society attention and gave them a place within his own ministry. In the Greek and Roman cultures of Jesus' day, the killing of children, especially baby girls, was something that was acceptable. Yet the Hebrews regarded children more highly than the Greeks and the Romans around them. In fact, they were horrified at the attitude of many of the other cultures around them. And yet, even in that attitude, we find that the Hebrews themselves discriminated against children. Well, at least against girls, giving preferential treatment and higher status to boys. Yet Jesus raised the place of children, and the consciences of the people were challenged by Jesus that children are not afterthoughts, but rather his attitude is one that children are important and deserve a place of importance within our own lives, and not just the lives of parents and grandparents, but the lives of all, especially the lives of all who are Christ's followers. Mark tells us here, and while we generally translate it, people were bringing little children to him. Those weren't just folks that were going down the street snatching children off the corner and saying, come on, let's go see Jesus. These were their parents. Their parents were bringing children to Jesus. Why? Because their attitude was one of care. And they wanted Jesus to lay his hands on the children and bless them. Like most parents, they wanted what was best for their children. And they saw in Jesus a different kind of rabbi who treated outcasts in positive ways. In Hebrew society, the laying on of hands symbolized the passing on of a blessing. And as the hands were laid on the person, whether a child or an adult, the expectation, the belief was that power of blessing flowed not only from that person, but from God. This laying on of hands was an act and an action of both blessings of parents to children, but also an action showing God's acceptance and God's approval. We ultimately seek God's blessings, do we not? Although sometimes we only seek them when we're in trouble. But we ultimately seek God's blessings because God has assured us that He will accept us. And when we receive those blessings, we have a stronger sense of self-esteem, a stronger sense of well-being. These parents wanted Jesus to love them. Their children and the parents. They wanted Him to care for them and to assure them of God's love, acceptance, and the approval of God upon their children. And what did Jesus say? Let the children come to me and do not stop them. Jesus' attitude toward children was one of worth. Jesus was also affirming of them. He had an attitude and an action of affirmation. By both word and deed, Jesus continued to affirm the worth and the value of children. Not just having children in order to have people to work the farm or to carry on the family name, but the value of children in that they are worthy of respect and have the same rights as any other person. They are not merely possessions. They are valuable persons. And they're important. Why? Because they, like the parents and the grandparents and the other adults around, are created in the image of God. We're created in the image of God from the beginning. It doesn't happen when we become adults. Children are created in the image of God. They were then not an expendable throwaway commodity, and children are not to be a throwaway commodity today either. They are people of worth. And Jesus welcoming of them in such a way, reaching out to them to lay His hands upon them and to give that blessing, perhaps just through a hug, that action by deed is a command for you and for me. It was a command to the disciples who tried to keep the children from coming and bothering Jesus. As Jesus reached out and affirmed them, He said, "Let them come to me and do not stop them ever." And He shows us how we are to welcome children in our lives as well. Jesus took children seriously. And Jesus gave them time, attention. And His interest was based on loving care. If we treat our children with respect and as valuable persons, they will be more likely to have respect for others as well. If not, neither will they have respect and see others as worthwhile. The son of Charles F. Adams was named Brooks Adams. You probably don't remember Charles F. Adams. He was a U.S. ambassador to Great Britain during the term of Abraham Lincoln. A very, very busy man. And he taught his son, Brooks, the importance of writing things in a journal. When Brooks was 8 years old, he pestered his dad enough to get him to take him fishing. And that night, he wrote in his journal, "Went fishing with my father. The most glorious day of my life." In fact, folks later said that Brooks Adams often referred to this day in other writings that he had, even writing years later, quote, "That day influenced the entire rest of my life." End of quote. Over 40 years later, after the busy ambassador died, Brooks was going through some of his possessions and ran across a few of his father's journals. And he was excited when he found the journal that contained that time period in which they had gone fishing. And so he turned very quickly to find that date to see what his father said. And these were the words: "Went fishing with Brooks. A day totally wasted." But you know something? Brooks Adams, as much as that hurt him initially, thought, you know, it really wasn't a wasted day, even though his dad didn't realize it. It was the best day of his life. And it was the best day of his life because of a four-letter word. T-I-M-E. E. Time. Time. Time that influenced Brooks, and time that was seen by him, even though his dad didn't necessarily feel this way at the moment, was seen at the moment by Brooks Adams as another four-letter word, L-O-V-E. By giving time to children and paying attention to them, we follow Jesus' example and we affirm their worth and their value. And you never know what that time might turn into much later. We also find that Jesus confirmed children through his actions. Not just his words, but his actions. What did the disciples do? They tried to stop the children, which conveyed a lack of worth. All these children, they're not worth Jesus' time. He doesn't have time to be bothered and kiss a bunch of kids. They were open about it. They were open about it. But sometimes we might not be. Anger or disgust on our face. A contemptuous look. A look of intimidation. Keeps them away. Whereas joy and openness and acceptance draws children in. So I guess the question that I would ask myself is, what do my actions and my expressions say to the children around? Jesus loved and accepted these children. And he was indignant, not with the children, but with the disciples who tried to push them aside. When the disciples thought they were protecting Jesus, they were actually harming the relationship. Rather than being impatient with the children, Jesus was open. Jesus was accepting. Jesus made the time, patiently giving them himself, his time, and his grace. I hope that we've already begun to figure out ways to improve our report card with our children. But here might be a few suggestions. First of all, be involved with and interact with children, with young people. Not just our own, but even others around us. In spite of what they may seem to say sometimes, most children really want us. I mean, they really do. Even an old guy like me. They want our time. They want our attention. So spend time. Secondly, pray for children and young people. You know, growing up is exciting and difficult. It's growth and struggle. Growing up is happy and sometimes downright aggravating. And sometimes growing up is scary. So in addition to being involved with and interacting with our children and giving them time, we need to pray. Pray for our children. Pray for our family's children, yes, but pray regularly for other children as well. And as we do, who knows, our attitude might even change to more of one of acceptance and affirmation. Third, be an advocate for children. Children need persons who will support and encourage them, who will speak up for them, but who will also call them to accountability when needed.
Even this, when done properly, shows care and love and worth. When our children are in need, we need to stand up and face them, not turn our backs. For neither they nor we deserve, nor can they or we afford losing them in any way, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Parents brought, number four, the parents brought their children to Jesus. I know sometimes we might not be able to get them there and we rely on someone else, but it's all the more important that we bring our children. All these other things are good things to do, to be involved, to pray, to be an advocate, but they will never be fulfilled in the way that they should if we don't bring our children to Jesus. At home, yes. But in gatherings with other Christians, absolutely. Jesus made space for children to be loved, accepted, and blessed. The text says that Jesus touched them and blessed them. And he said, "This is how you are to treat children." He affirmed their worth and was involved with them. He was an advocate for children, and he prayed for them. Can I really do any less? Or perhaps the better question for me is, will I do as much? So how's your report card? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, perhaps realizing that we push children away, even though sometimes we may not intend to. Remind us that you are loving and caring and accepting, and we are worthy because of you and because of Jesus. We are worthy of love, we are worthy of care, because we're in the image of God. Help us to remember that all those children we encounter are also in the image of God. And may we not be guilty of stopping them from finding you. We pray for your help and your strength in that task, that it might become more than a task, that it might become a joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to turn to hymn number 185. At least for the first verse, you probably don't need to look at it. But if we sing more than one, a lot of folks do. Jesus loves me. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open for any decision you might make. But let's remember that just as Jesus loves me, so He loves our children. Number 185.